Support your curiosity by becoming a member of KCRW. That way you can help ensure KCRW music, news, and culture will continue to thrive and fulfill your need to know. Donate at kcrw.com/join.
Well, and I'll be back with Which Way LA. Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti has been trying to raise height limits and increase density in Hollywood since he was the city councilman there. But last week, a local judge put the lid on the $1 billion Millennium Hollywood project, which would feature towers 35 and 39 stories high near the Capitol Records building. Community groups retained a lawyer who's been there before. Robert Silverstein is an opponent of what he calls unhealthy government in Los Angeles. Robert Silverstein, welcome to our program.
Thank you.
A zoning plan approved by the city council, you've gotten it thrown out of court. You've stopped a Target store from being completed. Tenants are going to be evicted from a new apartment house in Hollywood. What does this all add up to as far as you're concerned?
Well, thank you. What we're seeing here is a pattern of lawlessness by the L.A. mayor and city council that constantly elevates the interests of favored developers over the public and over the rule of law. Each one of these cases that we have fought successfully in front of multiple different judges to obtain rulings against the city of Los Angeles have vindicated the public's right to have an open and transparent process. And instead, what we constantly see and what we constantly have to fight is a process of the city disregarding the law. And what we have in the situation, for example, of the Hollywood Community Plan update, the community groups that I represent argued for years that the city was using demonstrably false and, in fact, fraudulent population data to distort all of the environmental impact analysis of the environmental impact report for that process. And what they did was they created this framework for intensified development and density that was not justified by the data, that was not justified by the population, and that was not properly analyzed by the city. Then you have the Target case where the city throws the zoning code out the window to allow Target to exceed the height limit for a specific plan that is the expression of years of work by the community to develop a framework for the type of future development they want to see. Then you have the old Spaghetti Factory building project, the 22-story building, where, in fact, it is the city that is now requiring the landlord to evict the tenants because, in that case, the landlord, CIM Group, which is a major contributor to Mayor Garcetti, illegally demolished a 1924 structure, which by city ordinance they were required to preserve. And in exchange, they got about $10 million of taxpayer money to subsidize their project. They illegally demolished this structure overnight. They didn't give back any of the money. They avoided tens of millions of dollars in construction costs for parking by claiming originally that they couldn't do subterranean excavation because of preservation of the older building above ground. And then they wound up preserving it, so to speak, in a landfill.
What's wrong with the Hollywood Millennium?
Well, I mean, that, do we have an hour to talk about that? The Hollywood Millennium Project is really sort of the poster child for the culture of secrecy and rule breaking that permeates LA City Hall. To approve two skyscrapers on top of what the California State Geologist has now officially said is the active Hollywood earthquake fault, a 7.0 magnitude earthquake fault that runs directly through that site, over the state geologist's objections, over Caltrans' objections, and over the objections of the 40 different community groups that I represent is jaw-dropping, is astounding. Not only has the city council and Mayor Garcetti approved a project that is reckless and that would be incredibly environmentally damaging, but it would literally imperil the lives of thousands of people that would live and work on that property if that project ever got built.
Okay, Robert Silverstein, again, all four cases have been won with different judges in local courts. Mott Smith is co-founder of Civic Enterprise. That's a planning and development firm. He also serves on the board of the developers group, the Council of Infill Builders. Mott Smith, good to have you on our program.
Great to be on with you, Warren.
Are you directly involved in any of these projects just listed by Mr. Silverstein?
Thankfully, I'm not.
So what's your take on what's going on here? Is he right that we have a reckless, lawless process that needs to be stopped?
Well, what I agree with is that we have a process that, frankly, nobody can trust. And it's true whether you're a community stakeholder, it's true if you're a developer, it's true if you're a public official. Our land use regulation process in California has been built entirely around what we would call a new growth suburban paradigm, meaning it works fantastically well if what you're trying to do is plan a new subdivision out in the desert somewhere. And if instead what you're trying to do is build a constantly evolving, creative, iterative city, it breaks down not just in L.A., but really everywhere where there's an established city in the state. And so I wouldn't characterize the city's behavior as lawless, but I would say that every time we have to create something here because of the way we've structured it under state and local laws, we have to basically break the system, and that ruins trust on all sides of the equation.
So are you saying then that these projects were inappropriately presented? What about the court rulings? Was there illegality involved?
I don't want to comment on the legality or illegality because I don't really know the specifics very well. But what I can say is that this is, in California, developers regularly spend hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, hiring very expensive experts to help them try to comply with environmental law. And a recent study by the firm of Holland & Knight in San Francisco, where they looked at environmental impact reports that had gone to court under challenges like the ones that we're talking about here, the chances that a judge would overturn the EIR across the state were about 50-50. So it's a coin toss after you've spent millions of dollars trying to comply with the laws, whether or not you actually did comply with the laws. And so when people are making such heroic efforts to try to respond to the market, respond to the community, build what frankly is state policy, because it is state policy now to build infill, and we still fall down half the time, it tells me there's something wrong with the law.
Okay, Robert Silverstein, back to you. There are those who say you have made a career of going through the California Environmental Quality Act and other laws as well in order to find the kinds of things that will get judges to make the rulings that they have without regard to the overall policies that Mott Smith just described.
Well, the overall policies in the California Environmental Quality Act are accountability, transparency, and mitigation of environmental impacts. And when you have, just take for example, the most recent case, the Millennium Hollywood project, you had a city and a developer that were intent on frustrating all of those policies. There was not accountability. There was a complete disregard for two state agencies by the city council. There wasn't mitigation of impacts because the city refused to even study impacts to the 101 freeway, although Caltrans was, to their credit, absolutely and tenaciously objecting to that.
Any way that Hollywood can be developed and densified and made way for the people who now want to live there?
Absolutely. Hollywood can be developed if it's developed responsibly and within the constraints of the law and the infrastructure that we have. My clients do not oppose development. They do not oppose good development. What they oppose is law-breaking development and dangerous development. And in the Millennium case, that's a perfect example of both. So this idea that somehow CEQA is being used to frustrate projects, first of all, let me just say that another statistic that would be important to know is that about 1 in 1,000 projects is challenged ever. I think the statistic is about 0.3% of all projects that are approved are ever challenged under CEQA. So this notion that somehow our enforcing the environmental laws and protecting the public is harming the economy is really a canard.
So, Mott Smith, what do we need in order to move toward a model that you and perhaps Mr. Silverstein could agree on?
It's an awesome question. I mean, state policy ever since SB 375 was passed, Senator Steinberg has said that infill is good policy, because the fact is the more densely we build, the more walkably we build, the more we prioritize people over cars, the more we're going to create a livable, affordable state that has a healthier environment. And in fact, since in 2013, SB 743 was passed, which eliminated traffic congestion as an environmental impact, under the recognition that, first of all, there's always going to be some traffic congestion, and that all the things we do to mitigate congestion, frankly, make our cities worse and less affordable and less healthy. I think eliminating the automobile analysis from CEQA is a step in the right direction for sure.
Okay, that was Mott Smith, co-founder of Civic Enterprise, a planning and development firm. Now let's hear a bit more about how some Hollywood residents are reacting. Marion Dodge is president of the Hillside Federation, one of the groups opposed to the Millennium Project and what it would mean for Hollywood.
It's already a traffic nightmare. Hollywood Boulevard, Franklin Avenue, those streets are already backed up for blocks and blocks. People can't get through now. If you build something else there, it's just going to compound that problem. If you look at Hollywood now, there's practically a big development on every single intersection. And all of those put together are going to radically change access to Hollywood, access through it, around it. It's going to have a huge impact on us.
We just heard Mott Smith of Civic Enterprise say perhaps we ought to get rid of the traffic issue with regard to CEQA, the California Environmental Quality Act. First, before I go back to him, let me introduce Eric Avila. He is a professor of Chicano Studies, History, and Urban Planning at UCLA. He's also author of Popular Culture in the Age of White Flight, Fear and Fantasy in Suburban Los Angeles. Professor, welcome to you.
Hi, Warren.
Where do you come down on all of these projects in Hollywood? Do we need them or not?
Well, I think, first of all, I think we need to acknowledge that we live in an urban region of 15 to 16 million people. So we live in one of the diverse, the most diverse concentrations of humanity in the world. And Hollywood happens to be in the center of that concentration. And I imagine, yes, it's probably terribly inconvenient to live in the Hollywood Hills, in the center of an urban region of 15, 16 million people. But I think the issue should not be about traffic congestion. I think people should be arguing for more mass transit, which is precisely what the city of LA has been doing for the past 20 years or so. And I think Hollywood has been targeted as a site for this new kind of smart growth that revolves around the integration of vertical housing and mass transit systems like the metro line.
What about the views from the hills?
Well, that, I think, is going to be a problem. But, you know, Hollywood has always been an urban center. It's not Manhattan, but we're talking about the addition of maybe two or three skyscrapers, which, you know, might interrupt the views of a few hillside homeowners. But in terms of talking about, you know, creating the kind of future city that we want to live in, I think that's a sacrifice that we all need to make.
What about the earthquake faults, though, and the increase in traffic that Caltrans said is inevitable because of the 101 freeway?
Well, I think throughout this controversy, we've heard many different reasons listed as to why we should not go forward with this project. So, you know, initially, I think homeowners in the Hollywood Hills complained about higher incidents of rape and crime in the Hollywood area. Then came the issue of the earthquake, and now it's the Caltrans argument. And I feel like we've heard many, many different reasons as to why we should not go forward with this development, but nothing seems to stick. I mean, you know, they keep piling on these reasons why, but I'm confident that this project is eventually going to go forward.
Let me go back to Robert Silverstein, the attorney who has stalled the project, at least for the moment. Is this all about having a more convenient place to live and making sure the views are okay?
No, the views issue is really a non-issue. This is about having a livable and safe community and having a city council that actually follows the law. The professor's comment that, nothing seems to stick in terms of our objections, actually pretty much everything stuck last week in our trial, and the idea that somehow disregarding Caltrans, which for 2 years consistently opposed this project, and its environmentally damaging effects, to somehow suggest that that can be brushed aside is just not proper. And to the extent that Caltrans was opposed to this, and the state geologist expressed deep concerns, those are human life, health, safety, welfare concerns that everyone should join with us in being concerned about.
So, Professor Avila, you're, again, a professor of urban planning at UCLA. What about Mr. Silverstein's complaint, which we heard about in the first section of our program, that you have at City Hall a kind of a cabal of people, developers and council people, who push through projects without concern for the law or the people who might be the most directly affected?
I don't think that's accurate. I mean, I followed Eric Garcetti and the previous mayor, Mayor Villaraigosa, on this issue. I think they're genuinely concerned about making a more livable city, and I think they both realize that, you know, the suburban ideal of Los Angeles as a city wedded to the automobile and the detached single-family home is outdated and cannot sustain itself. And I think they are, with the genuine public interest at stake, pursuing a more integrated vision of mass transit and housing. So I'm very skeptical of that argument that this is some kind of developers' cabal in City Hall. I mean, you know, if you want to talk about development, that's been with us for the entire history of LA since the late 19th century. The port, the aqueduct, suburban growth in the valley and in other parts of Southern California, that's been, you know, pushed by powerful public and private interests. While a lot of that development has not always benefited the public in equal ways, I think that Hollywood's vision to urbanize has an inclusive vision of a kind of public life that is not just representative of a very narrow, very affluent community secluded in the Hollywood Hills.
Mott Smith still with us, co-founder of Civic Enterprise, a planning and development firm. What do you say to the argument that Hollywood is, in fact, outdated? And if so, how should we better develop it without leading to the kind of criticisms that we've heard from Robert Silverstein and many others, that in fact developers get whatever they want from City Hall?
I think developers would love it if they got whatever they wanted from City Hall. And speaking with the community of developers that I'm part of, nobody has that perception. The perception that we have is that our salaries, which are basically time-based, if we build a project that's going to make us $100,000 over a year, and then a lawsuit is filed, even if that lawsuit's dismissed, but it delays our project by a year, our salary just got cut in half unless we charge twice as much for the units that we build, which sometimes happens. So I think developers would be happier if there were a cabal out there, which I just don't believe there is either. I think what there is a set of city laws and state laws, again, that are out of sync with the policies that Professor Avila mentioned of building a walkable, healthy, dense city around our transit system. If I don't think we're going to avoid the kind of complaints that Robert Silverstein and his clients are levying at the projects. And I think the problem with our state law is it doesn't tolerate projects where there are such complaints. And the only place you can go where you're going to avoid complaints is out in the desert, which is how we create sprawl, more traffic, more environmental unsustainability, and frankly, a less healthy environment.
Okay, we are almost out of time. Robert Silverstein, back to you. I'll give you the last word. Are we ever going to see the towers of Millennium Hollywood? Are we ever going to see that target built, do you think? Are the tenants ever going to be able to go back into the building that they've had to evacuate because a historic facade was torn down?
Well, the tenants don't want to be in that building. They have been victimized by the landlord. According to the LA Times, 4 floors of that building have been illegally leased for an Airbnb transient hotel. The LA Times reported that it's become a public nuisance with prostitution and drugs.
So it doesn't sound, to get to my broader question, it doesn't sound like you're going to stand for these places or these projects being completed.
Well, as long as projects are completed in compliance with the law, we support them. But when the law is bent and wrenched out of shape and ignored, which is what we routinely see, that's where my clients are concerned. The people who live there want a livable community. And, you know, the idea that somehow this is just privileged people who are complaining is ironic to hear that, because the LA Weekly back in January of 2013 ran an article on the population loss in Hollywood called Hollywood's Urban Cleansing, and noted that the population loss is primarily working class Latinos being squeezed out by the gentrification encouraged by the city's redevelopment and
quick response to Eric Avila to that. Once again, we're just about out of time.
Well, that is a phenomenon that's certainly not restricted to Hollywood. We're seeing that all over the place. You know, we're not talking about public housing towers here. And if that were the case, then I think there would be, you know, an intense class warfare.
All right. No time to go into the nitty-gritty, but very, very interesting comments from all of you. And thank you very much for them. Eric Avila at UCLA, Mott Smith, co-founder of Civic Enterprise, and Robert Silverstein of the Silverstein Law Firm. Thanks, all of you, very much for being with us tonight.